Most of us assume we're awake simply because our eyes are open. We go about our days making decisions, forming opinions, believing we're in control of our lives. But what if this sense of control is an elaborate illusion? What if we're actually sleepwalking through existence, reacting mechanically to everything that happens to us? This unsettling question lies at the heart of George Ivanovich Gurdjieff's radical system of self-transformation, known simply as the Work. Born in 1872 on the Russia-Turkey border, Gurdjieff spent two decades traveling through Asia and the Middle East, developing a method that doesn't require monastery walls or mountain retreats. Instead, it transforms ordinary life itself into a laboratory for awakening. His teachings have attracted everyone from philosophers to musicians like Keith Jarrett, even celebrities like Madonna and Sting. What makes this system endure isn't its promise of quick enlightenment, but its unflinching diagnosis of the human condition. We are machines who believe ourselves conscious, fragmented personalities who imagine ourselves whole, prisoners who don't recognize our chains. Your morning reveals the pattern. Phone before feet touch floor, instant rage at traffic, replaying a colleague's comment for hours. These aren't choices. They're automatic programs running without your input. Gurdjieff's most provocative claim, we exist in waking sleep, a hypnotic state where everything happens to us. We experience actual sleep and what passes for waking consciousness, which is really just sleep with open eyes. The third state, genuine self-awareness or self-remembering, remains almost completely inaccessible without deliberate work. This mechanical existence reveals our lack of unity. We don't have one consistent self, but a crowd of different eyes, each temporarily taking control. The eye setting your alarm at night differs from the eye hearing it in the morning. We're like a house where different servants answer the phone, each giving contradictory responses while claiming to be the master. This fragmentation makes consistent growth impossible. Without recognizing this multiplicity, we remain trapped in repetitive patterns, believing ourselves unified when we're actually contradictory impulses fighting for temporary dominance. Gurdjieff maps human psychology as a house with three floors and four centers. The intellectual center, upper story, makes comparisons and judgments. The emotional center, middle floor, generates likes and dislikes. The basement holds the moving center, learned behaviors like driving, and the instinctive center, automatic functions like breathing. Each center operates at different speeds and requires different energy. Problems arise when centers perform unsuited tasks. Intellectualizing balance while learning to ride a bicycle guarantees a crash. Only when the moving center takes over does balance become effortless. Most people dwell in the basement, trapped in negative emotions and internal considering, obsessing over how others have wronged us. This house also contains two distinct aspects, essence and personality. Essence is our authentic nature, visible in young children before socialization. Personality develops as we grow, burying essence beneath learned behaviors, borrowed opinions, and social masks. While personality helps us function socially, genuine transformation requires allowing our long-neglected essence to grow again, explaining why someone might abandon a family-approved career to pursue something deeply authentic. Several psychological forces prevent us from seeing our true condition. The most significant is identification, becoming completely absorbed in whatever we're experiencing. When identified with a problem, we lose all perspective, merging entirely with the situation. Like an actor who continues believing he's Jesus after the play ends, we become one with our circumstances, financial worries, illness, relationship conflicts. Another obstacle is internal considering, our fixation on how others have wronged us. We replay imaginary conversations about injustices, developing psychological songs we repeat internally. These songs blame others and prevent growth by keeping us focused outward rather than inward. Buffers act as psychological shock absorbers, preventing us from seeing our own contradictions. We easily spot them in others, but remain blind to our own, railing against corporate greed while cheating on taxes. the most pervasive obstacle is negative emotions, the poison contaminating our psychological body. Gurdjieff observed that negativity spreads like a contagious disease. When identified with problems, we turn negative, draining our energy. Imagine waking with 100 units of energy. Worrying before rising costs 20 units. An argument at breakfast depletes 30 more. By the time you arrive at work, you're running on fumes. Gurdjieff's method centers on self-observation, watching yourself impartially, without judgment or justification. This isn't psychological analysis, but pure observation of your real-time behavior, thoughts, and feelings. Like a scientist at a microscope, step back from your personality and watch how it operates. Can you observe yourself getting irritated when your internet slows? Watch yourself interrupting someone mid-sentence? Notice yourself reaching for your phone for the 100th time today? Self-observation reveals who we truly are beneath our self-image. These moments form a work memory, like photographic exposures creating a complete picture. Four factors sabotage effective observation: constant mechanical talking, lying to ourselves and others, undirected imagination, especially negative scenarios, and negative emotions, which distort perception like a warped mirror. The work teaches that we're all under the influence of laws. The law of three states that every event requires three forces: active, initiating, passive, resisting, and neutralizing, connecting. The law of seven explains why intentions veer off course, using the musical scale's intervals to identify gaps where things naturally deviate, like New Year's resolutions fading by February. The law of the pendulum explains that we're governed by cyclical changes, moods swinging between opposites, with peace existing at the center point. Gurdjieff's fourth way differs from three traditional paths: the fakir, physical, monk, emotional, and yogi, mental, which require withdrawal from ordinary life. The fourth way works on all three centers simultaneously while remaining in everyday situations. Your difficult boss, crying baby, broken down car, these aren't interruptions, but exactly what you need. Called the Way of the Sly Man, it's a 24/7 practice where understanding is the principal requirement. The work classifies human development into seven levels. The first three form the circle of mechanical humanity, those dominated by physical instincts, emotions, or intellect. Man number four is balanced, using all centers equally. The highest three levels form the conscious circle of humanity. Gurdjieff's carriage parable illustrates our inner state. The driver, mind, is drunk in a bar, lost in fantasies. The carriage, body, is deteriorating. The horse, emotions, is underfed. And the reins, connections between thought, feeling, action, are frayed. The driver must first leave the bar, abandoning illusions about your capabilities. Your real I appears through a specific sequence. Observing I evolves into deputy steward, then steward, and finally the master emerges. Gurdjieff's work offers no shortcuts. It demands years of patient self-observation and requires sacrificing one thing: your suffering. We cling to our particular forms of suffering: relationship problems, regrets, feelings of failure, complaining while making them part of our identity. A powerful method for relieving suffering is learning to like what you dislike, especially illnesses and disabilities. These conditions become the material you work on. The work teaches you have the right not to be negative, the freedom to choose your attitude. Viktor Frankl demonstrated this in concentration camps. While everything can be taken, the freedom to choose one's response remains. Regular group meetings provide essential support. Physical practices matter. Observe and release muscular tension daily, especially in face, hands, and toes. Humans can develop four distinct bodies. The first, physical, suffices for ordinary life, but remains subject to external influences. The second relates to emotional stability. The third emerges with consistent self-remembering. The fourth represents permanent development. Developing a second body shifts you from outer-directed to inner-directed, recognizing that difficult events aren't obstacles, but essential material for applying work principles. Gurdjieff compared the process to peeling an onion, removing personality layers to reach your real I. Each moment of self-remembering connects you with essence and eternity. No one can do this work for you. Teachers provide ideas, but without application, these remain mere facts. As Spinoza concluded, if salvation lay ready to hand and could be discovered without great labor, how could it be possible it should be neglected almost by everybody? But all noble things are as difficult as they are rare.